Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. We are now in Nedarim and Daf Pei Vav Amud Bet. And we will be doing three short pieces today, Mishnah He, Mishnah Vav, and Mishnah Zayin, from the 11th chapter of Masechet Nedarim, all dealing with issues of rejection and confirmation of a neder, and the issues of error or misunderstanding. Nadra ishto v'savur shenadra ishto. So we take here the two types of women who are under a man's purview for rejection of a neder, his wife and his daughter. Let's say that he thought his wife took a neder. He's sitting at the table and he heard somebody say, I took a neder, and he said, I reject it. And he thought it was his daughter, it was really his wife, or vice versa. Nadra b'nazir v'savur shenadra b'korban. He's not confused about the person, but about the nature of the neder. Nazirut, or she took a neder to bring a korban. Korban v'savur shenadra b'nazir. Nadra m'tainim v'savur shenadra m'nanavim. Nadra m'nanavim v'savur shenadra m'tainim. Or about the object of the neder. He knows that she took a man from food, but he thought it was figs, it was really grapes, figs. Then Hareze Yachzor V'Afer. His original hafara is invalid, and he has to go back and do another rejection when he realizes his mistake. So that would mean that if tonight, for instance, at the table, his wife told him it took a neder and he thought it was from grapes, and indeed it was really from figs, and he said, I reject it. And then 3 days later he finds out that he was wrong. He can still reject it. It's still called Biyom Shomo, but he does have to do another rejection. Now, L'meimra D'yani Ota Dafkahu. This seems to indicate that the phrase Yani Ota, which I have in Pasuk number 1 on the page, it's not mentioned in the Gemara, but it's referred to, meaning if he rejects her, or he restrains her, that ota is dafka, meaning it has to be specifically her. He can't just issue a blanket rejection of whatever nedarim in their house, but it has to be aimed at that particular woman, being wife or daughter. In the context of tearing kriya, when you hear about somebody who dies, and it says specifically that when the famous example of kriya is when David heard about Shaul and Yonatan dying, he tore kriya for Shaul, he tore kriya for Yonatan, he also tore kriya for Am Yisrael, for the army. Dichtiv al Shaul v'al Yonatan b'no, and there we would expect that that based on the idea that Yani Otam means you have to aim the rejection specifically at the right woman, then certainly we would expect that if it says he tore kriya for Shaul and he tore kriya for Yonatan, that if you heard that one relative died and tore kriya and it turned out it was a different relative, that you should not be Yotze. If the same thing will hold. V'tanya, Amrulo Meta Viva Karav, Hakach Nimtza B'no Yotzei Kriya. That we have a brayta that says that if they told him his father died and he tore kriya, and then it turns out it wasn't his father, it was his son, then he's yotzei. And according to what you said, he should not be yotzei. So amri lo kasha, habistam ham faresh. That last brayta is a little inexact, at least according to this first answer. When he's told stam that somebody died, and we'll see the example in a second, and he thought it was his father, and then he tore kriya, and it turns out it was his son, then he's yotzei. But if, on the other hand, they told him it was his father, and he tore kriya, and then they told him it was his son, then not. Hatanya, here's support. Amrulo metavi v'karav. V'chakach nimtza v'no, if they told him his father died, and he tore kriya, and turned out that it was not his father, but it was his son, lo yetzai de kriya, he's not yotzei. Amrulo met lo met, but if they told him somebody died, v'chasavur avivu v'karav, he thought it was his father. That was his own information. And he tore kriya. V'chakach nimtza b'no. And it turned out it wasn't his father, it was his son. Yatzai yidei kriya. Then he's yotze. So we see this distinction. If he tears kriya because he heard somebody died and he assumes it to be his father, then the kriya is valid. But if, on the other hand, they told him it was his father, and that was, he was tearing a kriya for his father, and then it turns out it was his son, then it is invalid. So that would be the same thing here. If his wife took a neder and told him about it, and he was sure that it was his daughter, then his rejection is invalid. Then Yani Ota kicks in as a specific and a desider and a sine qua non. Now, Rav Ashi Amar, he has a different answer. Kan betoch de dibur, kan lachar kadei dibur. The question is, how long after your mistaken declaration did you fix it? Or did you become aware of it? And here's what we mean. If it's petoch de dibur, which means within a few seconds, enough to say shalom alach harebi, then it's considered to be one speech or one action. So let's see. How did the comment Yotzei Kriya? When do we say that you're Yotzei Kriya if you did it for one person, turned out somebody else had died? Shimsa beno tochte dibur. You were told your father died. You tore Kriya, and within tochte dibur of tearing Kriya, you found out it was your son. That now all becomes one unified action, and now the Kriya is amended, if you will, to be for the son. Hadamat lo yotzei de kriya, when do we say you're not yotzei? So it has nothing to do with what you were told, because either way, the information is errant. If you found out it was your son more than a few seconds later, then you have to tear a new kriya, because that kriya can't attach to that new knowledge. It's too distant. Vatanya, this is a support. Somebody who has a sick person in his house, and a sick person suddenly goes into a coma. And he thinks he's dead. And then it turns out he wasn't dead, but he died later. You're not Yotzei Kriya. Rabbi Shimon Levi quotes Bar Kappa as saying, that's only if he died more than a few seconds later. But if he dies, meaning he went into a coma and you thought he died, you tore Kriya, and a couple seconds later he really did die, then the Kriya attaches to the real death, and you don't have to tear Kriya again. So parenthetically, the Gemara uses this as an opportunity to summarize the laws of Toch Kedei Dibur. When is that period considered to be simultaneous? In all cases, Toch Kedei Dibur is considered to be part of one speech or part of the same time frame. Chutz v'migadef, v'oved avodat kochavim u'mekadesh megaresh. Four examples. In Bava Batra, they only mention two, oved avodat kochavim and mekadesh. But as the Ron points out, megadef is a subset of oved avodat kochavim, and megaresh and mekadesh are similar. Megadef is cursing God. So if somebody curses God, and then a second later says, oh, I didn't mean it, too late. If somebody worships Avodat Kochavim and declares, you are my God, to an idol, even if he takes it back within a couple seconds or half a second, it's too late. Mekadesh or Megarish, if he's Mekadesh a woman or he's Megarish a woman, and then with Toch Kedei Dibur, he tries to take it back, it's too late. But in all of the cases, Toch Kedei Dibur is considered Kedibur, so for a neder, to prepare a neder, a hafara, a kiyum, a hektesh, etc., Toch Kedei Dibur is considered to be all one speech, and you still have that window of a couple seconds to repair or amend what you said. Okay, the next Mishnah Vav. Amra konam te'inim ve'anavim elu shani to'emet. Here we're going to deal with the problem of partial hafara or kiyum. A woman said, I am banning these figs and grapes. So now, kiyum latenim, if the husband says, I confirm the your ban on figs, kulo kayim, and the entire ban is confirmed, and she has to live by it. Hefer latenim, but if on the other hand he said, I reject your banning figs, eno mufarad shefer aflanavim. It's not a rejection of any part of the netter until he rejects the entire thing. So according to the authority in our Mishnah, who we will very soon learn is Rabbi Yishmael, or representing that opinion, a kiyum can be even to a part, one segment of the neder. A hafara has to be a rejection of the entire neder. Now, amra konam te'inah shini to'emet va'anavah shini to'emet, if she specifies as separate, I am banning the tasting grapes and I am banning tasting figs, then harelu shnei nedarim. Those are two separate nedarim. They stand alone and they fall alone. Kiyum hafara operate independently on them. Now, mani matnitin, who is the author of Mishnah? I already gave it away, Rabbi Shmuel. Detanya, pasuk number three on the page, Ishai kimenu v'ishai ferenu. The text tells us, and we've seen this countless times in the last few parakim, her husband is mekayim the neder, and her husband rejects the neder. Has to do both. What does that teach us? Amra konam teinim v'anavim elu shei toemet. If she bans figs and grapes, kim latenim kulo kayam. Exactly like our Mishnah says, if the husband confirms the figs, as an example, the entire thing is confirmed. But if he rejects part, he rejects none until he's rejected the entire thing. So the idea is that ishayi kimanu, meaning to confirm even part of the neder, means you're confirming the neder. But to reject, you have to reject the whole thing. That's the way Rabbi Shmuel reads it. Did Rabbi Shmuel? Rabbi Kiva Omer, Harei Omer, Yishai Kimenu, Yishai Firenu. He says the two things are juxtaposed, and therefore we have to read them as similar. Ma Yikimenu Mimenu. Just like to confirm means to confirm part of it. You confirm any part of it, you confirm the neder. Afi Firenu Menu. Same thing with rejection. And this dovetails with Rabbi Akiva's important teaching in the ninth parak that neder shehu tar miktzato hu tar kulo. Right, and Rabbi Akiva came along. Ad sheba Rabbi Akiva v'li made. So in the same way here, if you reject part of the neder, the whole neder falls apart. So Rabbi Shmuel, how does Rabbi Shmuel answer that? Miktiv yafer mimenu. It doesn't say yafer mimenu to reject some of it. It's yafirenu to reject it. Rabbi Akiva, makish hafara lehakoma, but Rabbi Akiva says, yeah, fine, but still, the text juxtaposed hafarat hakama, makama mimenu, just like kiyum. I agree with Rabbi Shmuel. If you confirm part of it, the entire thing is confirmed. Hafara mimenu, the same thing. If you reject part of it, the entire thing is rejected. Now, all of this is Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, and again, our Mishnah follows Rabbi Shmuel. Rechia Barabam Yochanan Zudu Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Akiva. That's their machloket. But the Chachomim disagreed with both of them and said, Makisha Kamala Hafara. The two are juxtaposed, like Rabbi Akiva says, but for a different end. Ma farah, ma shav, very fair. Just like in the case of hafara, whatever you've rejected is rejected, and the rest is not touched. So if you say, I reject your ban on the figs she can eat, the grapes she still can't eat. Afakama ma shekiem kiem. Same thing with the confirmation. It says, I confirm your ban on the figs. The figs is confirmed. The grapes is still waiting, and he can still reject that. Okay, the end of the Mishnah said, Amra konam te'ina, so if she says te'ina separately from anavim, then Amarava matnitin Rabbi Shimon hi. We've already seen this about 20 daf ago, the opinion of Rabbi Shimon in Masachat Shvuot. In Shvuot, remember, if somebody is a Bailey, he's holding on to a Pikadon, he's a Shomer, and the fellow who entrusted him with it says, where's my thing? He says, I already gave it back to you, or you never gave it to me, or it was stolen from me in such a circumstance that based on the kind of Shomer I am, I'm Patur. The claimant can now force the Shomer to take a Shvuah, depending on the circumstances, and let's say there's five different guys who entrusted to him, and he takes a Shvuah to all of them. Shvuah, then I don't have any of your stuff. Turns out he's lying in all five cases. Korban Rabbanon, he has to bring five korbanot, besides payback, etc. He has to pay five korbanot for Shvuah Tapikadon. According to Rabbi Shimon, he brings only one, unless he says korban, Shvuah, that I don't owe you, and Shvuah, that I don't owe you, and Shvuah, etc., identifying each one separately. So therefore, our Mishnah, which says Te'ina and Anav make separate Nidarim, is Rabbi Shimon, Damar Shimar Shvuah L'chol Echad V'Echad, which means that the Rabbanan would say that even in the first part of our Mishnah, when you said Te'inim V'Anavim, they're also separate Nidarim, and therefore, all the discussion of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva only works within the position of Rabbi Shimon that regards such a neder as being a single neder. But according to Chachamim, even the first part of our Mishnah will be separate in Darim, whatever your mefer, whatever your mekayim, mekayim, and they stand separately. Okay, the last piece for today, Mishnah Zayin, Yodea ani sheish nedarim, aval eni yodea sheish mefirin. If a guy, his wife comes home and says, I took a neder today, and he hears about it, and he doesn't say anything. And 3 days later, he said, you know what, I didn't know I was able to be mefer. Then, yafer, when that happens, when he finds out he can still be mefer, and that's called biyom shomo, because it's a combination of hearing about the neder and knowing he has the power to be mefer, that allows him to be mefer. Now, that is a consensus. Keep that in mind, that the rabbis who are mentioned in the Sefer agree on this. Yodea ani sheish mefirin, aval eini yodea shezeh neder, but if he says, I know that people can be mefer, I know people have rights, but I didn't know that what she said was a valid neder, then Rav Meir omer lo yafer. Meir says, lo yafer. Question is, what does that mean? The Ron quotes two different versions on it, one of which is that the hafara that he makes when he hears about it is invalid, meaning that he has to have full knowledge and awareness that the neder is a real neder. He can't just be made for on spec. And Chacham say yafer, Chacham say it's a valid hafara. The other way to look at it, which is the way most Rishonim look at it, is to say that Rav Meir says that if the day passed and then a couple days later you realized, oh, that was a valid neder, you can no longer be made for. Whereas Chachamim said that you can still be Mayfair, but what that means then is that in the Reisha, Rav Meir admits that if you didn't know you had the rights to be Mayfair, then you can still be Mayfair later. Because that part he agrees with. And that is where the challenge comes in. Urminu, we challenge this because it's below Ra'ot. In the context of Aremi Klat, at the end of Sefer Bamidbar, it says that if a person comes into the forest and he throws something or drops something, whatever, it's below Ra'ot, he's not looking at the fellow who gets hit in the head with the axe and dies, however it happens, and it's below Ra'ot without seeing. Prat l'sumat, the Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that excludes a blind man from the parsha of Arei Miklat. If a blind man unintentionally kills somebody through negligence, he does not go to the Arei Miklat. Rameir says the opposite. Below Ra'ot is there to include the blind man. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda says that normally we would think a blind man is included in the parsha. Below Ra'ot comes to say somebody who can't see is excluded. In other words, what kind of guy are we talking about in the parsha of Arei Miklat? A guy who normally can see, and this time he didn't see. But not a guy who can never see. And Rameir says, no, when it says below Ra'ot, it means somebody who can't see, including somebody who can never see. And that means that Rameir thinks that a blind man is generally not included in Arei Miklat, and the pasuk is there to include him. Now, why is that a problem? So here the Rishonim provide several different approaches to understanding why this stands as a challenge to the Mishnah. And for the most part, they point at the Reisha, where Rameir did not disagree. And therefore, Rameir agreed that your lack of knowledge, your partial knowledge, meaning you knew that there are such things as Nedarim, but you didn't know you had the rights to the Mayfair, is not called knowledge. And here, we say that a blind person who certainly is less adept at making his way through the forest safely without hurting somebody, if he's carrying a tool, is called knowledgeable enough that he's responsible and therefore he has to go into exile. So there's a contradiction. Amar Rava, Hacha Minyane Dikra, V'Hacha Minyane Dikra. And Rishonim point out something very interesting here, which is that that originally our assumption is that Rameir and Rabbi Yehuda, who some have identified as being the Chachamim in our Mishnah, originally we thought that they held what they held about the level of knowledge that a person has to have to be responsible as a reasonable or logical approach, and that their association with the text was simply an asmachta. Rava comes along and says, no, they're actually interpreting from the text. Hacha minyane dekra, v'hacha minyane dekra. Now, it's a little misleading, because normally that means we will now look at psukim about Nedarim and about Arei Miklat. We're only going to look at Arei Miklat, and we're going to look at both at Rameir and Rehuda, how they interpret the psukim. And that's why I have pasuk 5 and 6 on the page. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Gabe Rotzeachtiv, what does it say about a murderer? It says, Vasher Yavot Reyu Bayar. This is a murder, a negligent homicide. Somebody who encounters his friend in the forest. What does that mean? That means anybody who would go into the forest, I called the Bar Me'al Yar. That means anyone who would go into the forest is included in the Parsha. Vasuma Nami Bar Me'al Yarhu, and therefore a blind man is included in the Parsha. V'iyamar below Ra'ot, and then once the Torah says below Ra'ot, the Rabot et Asuma, but if you think below Ra'ot is there to include the blind man, Mi'ar Nafkale, he's already in the Parsha because he's somebody who comes into the forest. So therefore I don't need below Ra'ot to tell me that a blind man is included. Ela Shmamina, below Ra'ot, Prat L'Suma. He said below Ra'ot is actually there to exclude the blind. Rameir Savar, K'tiv Bivlidat, Kol Debar Meida. Rameir points out another pasuk that says, if he hits him without knowledge, meaning anybody who has full knowledge is in the parsha. V'sumalav Bar Meidahu, a blind man has less knowledge than other people, less awareness of the stuff that he's doing. V'yamar below Ra'ot Prat L'Suma, so if you think below Ra'ot is there to exclude the blind, Bivlidat Nafkale, he's already been excluded from Bivlidat. Therefore, Elishmamina below Ra'ot Rabot at L'Suma. So Rameir says that below Ra'ot is there to include the blind man. In other words, whatever our assumption about the role of a blind man would be, below Ra'ot is there to turn it upside down. So Rabbi Yehuda says we start with the assumption that the blind man is included in the parsha, and therefore below Ra'ot is there to exclude him. And Rameir says we start with the assumption that he's not included because Bivlidat is the guiding verse, and therefore below Ra'ot is to include him. And therefore, Reb Meir's position is specific to Arei Miklat based on the Psukim and says nothing about the issue of Nedarim, where indeed he holds that partial knowledge is still considered to be insufficient, and therefore, if you didn't know that you had the right to Mefer, you can Mefer several days later. All right, we'll pick it up at this point, Yirtzeh Hashem, in the next podcast, and continue on in our study of the last chapter of Masechet Nedarim. Everybody should have a wonderful day.